in, well, a lot of places. You can open your Bible to Romans chapter 6. Let's pray. Father, as we look into your word, you really have an opportunity. I don't even know if I want to put it like that. Lord, I just hit here. This is my heart. Thrill us. This is, we're looking at thrilling things. So just, you know, give us our portion for sure, Lord. But, you know, take us opportunity, Lord. This is a divine appointment. Here we are. We could be a million places, but we're here at this place, at this time, to hear your word. And I pray you would just take this opportunity to just tell us what you would have us to know. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Happy Valentine's Day. And if you guys messed up, I warned you last week. So, you know, if you're not born again, today is a really good day to get born again. It's the day that I was born again in 1980. So, you know, you can do the math. It's 41 years ago that I've been saved. And Sue came up with a card, Happy Birthday, Happy Valentine's Day. And I was like, I was reading it thinking, that is so strange. And she didn't manufacture it. I mean, she actually bought one. Them people at Hallmark, they're crazy. Anyway, so I enjoyed that. Does anyone want to know the verse that it is for me? Now, of course, I get saved by the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you're saved, that's how you got saved. Does anyone want to know the verse that did it for me? Okay. We're in Romans chapter 6. And a friend of mine was just sharing the gospel with me. He said, you know you're a sinner. And I was, yeah. Tell me something I don't know. And he said this verse. He said, in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death. And I thought, like, because I grew up in a religious household. And I thought, like, that's very probably true. He told me I was going to hell. And I thought, like, Yeah, I can see that. He said, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that's what the verse says. And I said, wait, what? Eternal life is a gift? You mean I don't have to earn it? Because the Holy Spirit was working in my heart, and I thought, like, this is changes everything. Because I was on that perpetual wheel of religion, like that, you know, gerbil running around and not making any headway, a lot of energy, but not getting any closer to God. And like, hey, stop trying. Receive this free gift. God's gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I thought, like, well, yeah, do I got to sign up? Do I got to, you know, what do you need? Here I am, I'm ready. And it was a couple days after he had shared the gospel with me, I prayed and I received Christ into my heart. And that was February 14th, 1980. So if you're not born again, I invite you to share a spiritual birthday with me. But we're in Romans, so like as long as we're in Romans. Now listen, next week we're back on track. We're going to start chapter 4. We're not going to get very far into chapter 4. Chapter 4 and 5, unique in all scripture, and we're not going to rush right through it. Next week we'll talk about the rapture specifically. In other words, Revelation 4, 1 and 2. But right now, I'm going to recap the seven churches. And I want to start in Romans chapter 8. And Romans 8, and we'll go to verse 31, and we'll read through the end of the chapter. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Please, somebody say amen. Let's focus down on verse 37, because this is, I just wanted to give you context of verse 37. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Give me the next slide there. That's the verse there. And man, she's got mad ups. She must be wearing Nikes. And I'll show you why I think that. The phrase from verse 37, more than conquerors. Let's focus on that. This guy is so excited. He got a tattoo of it on his I would say that's very biblical. Go get a tattoo. That's the Greek, hupernike. It's not the Greek. It's the English approximation of what the Greek would sound like, okay? So he's got it tattooed right there so he can see more than conquerors, you know, all the time. You say, I'm averse to tattoos because I don't think that's biblical. We'll write it on there in, like, a Sharpie, okay? Adam, you can't tell people right on their arms in Sharpie. What if they're allergic and it gets all red and blotchy and stuff? Well, you can complain. My email is president@whitehouse.gov, and I'll be sure to receive that. Don't get a tattoo. Don't write it. Write it in your mind. Get this in your heart. Because we're going to go through. See, what I've done in the past is I went through all the overcomer verses in chapters 2 and 3, to him that overcometh, and then I would go back and say, oh, by the way, this means you, and I would show you the verse, but I don't want to do that. I want to do it like this way. This is what it means to be an overcomer. Hupernikeo, okay? It means you're a super conqueror in English. That's what it actually means, okay? You're a super conqueror. Now, let's look at another verse. 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. And the verse says, who is the overcomer? I think this is NIV. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he that overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Now, when we read it in Romans, now we're reading again in 1 John. Because when I say overcomer, and you're thinking, yeah, nobody's going to stop me. I'm going to huff and I'm going to puff and I'm going to, you know, screw up all my courage and my energy and my, stop. It's like salvation. It's a grace receiving. An overcomer, this verse says, this is he who's an overcomer, who's ever born of God, overcomes the world. Same word, Nikael. I'll show that next slide. This is a victory that has overcome the world. Our faith. Our struggle, our... No, relax. God's got this. Who is he that overcomes the world? But he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Any questions? I'd like to address them now before we go into the verses that talk about what it means to be an overcomer. Because I'm going to go through the seven, right? And I'm going to say, okay, this is Ephesians, this is the good, this is the bad. Take the good, take the bad. Jesus is talking to us. And then this is the him that overcometh. And I want you to say, when I say, this is him that overcometh, you don't have to say it right out loud. You can just murmur to yourself or say it in your mind. You can say it right out loud. You can jump and shout and do a handstand and say, hey, that's me, because this is you. And now when I go through overcomings, I want you to understand, God's talking to me. And now this changes everything, doesn't it? Because I was going through it and it says, okay, to the overcomer. And you're thinking, what does that mean? Like, I got to excel, I got to go past everyone else. No, you got to believe in Jesus Christ. That's what the verse says. And give me the next slide. That's the Greek, and that's the English approximation, Kale. Like I say, Nike sneakers, right? Victory. Overcoming. I don't know how to say it. Man, they market well, you got to admit, okay? Put a little swoosh on everything in America, practically. And what are they now, like? like $800 like per shoe. It's crazy money, but if you put them on, you will have mad ups, and you will just, your game is like 300% better. No question about it. No question whatsoever, right? But I just want you to understand, we're talking about the word that he who overcomes is the same word that we read in Romans chapter 8, super conqueror, and in 1 John 5, 4 and 5, overcomer. It's all the same word in the Greek, okay? Now, there is an adjective, super overcomer, in Romans that's not in the others, but I want you to understand it. It means the same thing. You're overcoming with plenty to spare. Because you're trying real hard? No, because you believe in Jesus. I want us to understand that. I don't want us to get past that. Because if you look at all these overcomers and you're thinking like, oh, well, you know, this and that, then maybe somebody else. No, no. Again, say, this is me. He's talking to me. This is what he wants me to know. Okay, let's get into it. Ephesus, okay? Ephesus means darling. The church that lost its first love, darling. It's the apostolic age church. And the good. We find that in verse 2 and verse 3. And I know your deeds, your labor, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate those who are evil. And you have tested and exposed as liars those who falsely claim to be apostles. Without growing weary, you have persevered and endured many things for the sake of my name. And also in verse 6, but you have this to your credit, you hate the work of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Nicolaitans, what's that? Nicao, conquer, laity, the people who conquer the laity. I would say this is like a priesthood, not the priesthood like the Aaronic priesthood who stands between God and man to pray on behalf and sacrifice on behalf and bring God and man together. This is that extra layer of, like, you know, you can't really even have a relationship with God outside the priesthood, that kind of priesthood. Like, I got this really great relationship with my bride of 42 years. And if somebody says, well, you can't talk with her and you're going through me, forget about it. That ain't happening. You all understand that because you got spouses as well. You said, that's not even going to happen. It's when Jesus died, and you remember the veil of the temple was rent from top to bottom. God showing the way into my presence is, here you go, come right in. And there are veil menders. Ostensibly, that veil was mended, and they went on with their ritual and stuff like this. But God said something through the death of Jesus. I'm accessible. You can come straight to me. You don't have to go through an intermediary. Well, so people showed up at Ephesus and said, yeah, well, we're the, you know, the apostles. We're the ones you have to go through if you want to get through Christ. And the people at Ephesus said, uh-uh, that ain't happening. Wrong answer. And Jesus hates that. The only thing in Scripture that in the New Testament, Jesus says, I hate that. And you're commended for hating the things that Jesus hates. I hate that. I hate that. I grew up in a system like that, okay? And it was Jesus, God. I always believe in God. There's never a day in my life where I can remember I didn't believe in God. But he's way out there. He's kind of not available. He's not handy. He's bugged at me. And I got to do religious things to earn his favor. None of those things were true. And if I had anything to do with him, I had to go through this intermediary. Jesus, I hate that. Wow, I'm born again. I hate it too. What's the bad? I have this against you. Have abandoned your first love. Now, you're talking to a room full of people at the Ephesian church. Or you're talking to people who love Jesus Christ. It's not. He's not saying you hate me now. It's the first love, that espousal love, that you know what it's like. You know how your spouse might complain, hey, you don't bring me flowers, you don't sing me love songs, you hardly talk to me anymore when you come through the door at the end of the day. You know that. We couldn't wait to be in each other's presence. You know, she got a notebook and she, you know, put her first name and my last name and she wrote it 173 times and she was all obsessed with me. And now she's like, no, not not her, I mean a spouse, okay? We shouldn't make it. I always do that, now I'm in trouble. Whatever you want for dinner, honey, I'll take it anyway. Okay, now, look, but you know how it is? It was magic. It was incredible. It was intense. It was all you thought about. And then it's kind of like, yeah, he's all right. Yeah. You know, and I hear like guys talk about their wife and they might as well be saying ball and chain. It's just the attitude that exudes there and stuff. And on some level, they still love each other. But that's not what Jesus wants to settle for. He doesn't want that. He wants like that red hot, intense. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? And you can do that. It's what you put in front of your mind, what you put in front of your heart, what you put in front of the thing that you spend all your time with. You can be obsessed with Wizard of Warcraft or any kind of game or whatever. If that's all you do all the time and that's all your whole life about, that's going to become. Our heart is an idol factory. I've seen this. And I just, you know, I pray, Lord, keep that intensity, that first devotion, that fire, that I don't want to be accused of this. And so, you know, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches, right? What's the overcomer? Okay, so the overcomer, to the one who overcomes, did you do it? Did you say, this is me? Did you? Because this involves you now. This isn't some, on a scale of 1 to 10, you know, Adam's probably on a good day, probably an 8 or something, and this one, devout over here, they're 10 all the time, and I'm probably like a 3 or 4. No. This is you. You get this, right? This is very important now. Jesus, hey, to you, this is what I get for you, okay? This changes. This is a game changer, right? To the overcomer, to the one who overcomes, I will grant the right to eat from the tree of life in the paradise of God. Is that a good thing? Well, one, it puts you in heaven, okay? Unless you get real long arms and can grab a piece of fruit from hell. And the tree of life, we understand, it's got 12 manner of fruit and it bears every month. And is that like 12 fruit a month or one of, like a fruit of the month? I don't know. Is it like a papaya? Because I think they're awesome. Or apricot? They're like totally good. I don't know any fruit I don't like. I love fruit. Fruit is good, right? We love bananas and we love fresh pineapple. It's like a pear and you bite it and all the juice is just dribbling off your chin. Is it like that? I don't know. It's good. I know God's going to start to bless us now. The leaves are for the healing of the nations, we'll find out in chapter 21 or 22. This is absolutely a good thing. Is this all we'll eat in heaven? No, I don't think so. Heaven's a place where you can eat and eat and eat, and they have all the most tastiest food and no calories. Jenny Craig's not a name that they even know in heaven unless she's saved and she just happens to be there. Nobody's doing any diets. Nobody's doing any vegan, paleo, none of that stuff. Is it all good for you? Yeah. Yeah, God knows how to bless. You ever think about taste buds? Totally. Cadillac. I mean, they don't serve any function except enjoyment of your food. Cows eat grass. And they're amazingly large animals. Think about it. We could be on the side of a hill eating grass like some big old cow. And the cow say to each other, hey, come over here, Fred. This grass is amazing. You know, they do that. It's just grass, right? It probably tastes like grass. And God's given you these things called taste buds. And then he's given you garlic and onions and like Louisiana red hot sauce and what? And are we all hungry now? Can we take a break? We'll come back and we'll finish this up later. Oh my goodness. Is God good? I'm just saying. I'm going to give you, so you're in paradise. You're walking down Glory Boulevard where it comes by Alleluia Way there. And right in the corner there, there's a, I don't know any of that, right? But there's a tree of life and you have access to it. And there you are. Thank you, Lord. Okay, let's go on to the next one. Smyrna. It means myrrh. The name Smyrna means myrrh. And I put this at about AD 100-ish to about AD 313, you say it's a pretty exact ending date, because that's when a man named Constantine signed into law the Edict of Toleration, also called the Edict of Milan, where it was no longer okay to persecute Christians. Apparently, say some, he had a Christian testimony his own self. He became a convert to Christianity. Don't know how true that is, but it is fact that he put an end to persecution. So AD, I say, because even before AD 100, I'm working in round numbers, there was persecution of the church. Read the book of Acts. Paul says, you know, AD 100, I didn't live to see that, but I died as a martyr for the faith. There's a lot of Christians did, but that's when everyone, everything was against Christianity, the whole Church of Jesus Christ, the entirety of the Church of Jesus Christ. People don't believe in this historic narrative part of like the churches, like through the ages. But I think these seven churches are the church throughout all time. And people say, oh, that's just the Western view. I beg to differ. There's no Western church. There's only the Church of Jesus Christ. It didn't start here in the West. It started in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. And it went through its different, and about AD 100, all the church was suffering. Remember, John wrote this from the Isle of Patmos. Why was he there? For the testimony of Jesus Christ and for the word of God. We're told in verse 1, in chapter 1. Because Domitian, the emperor, the Caesar at the time, sent him to the Isle of Patmos. Because he was a Christian. So persecution was the norm before that. But at this time, persecution was everywhere. It was rampant. And people were trying to stamp out Christianity. Did it work? No. Will it work in America in 2021? You watch. You watch. When the going gets tough, Church of Jesus Christ is purified. Probably less people. But stronger in the real, the cream rises to the top. Smyrna, you're good. I know your affliction, your poverty, though you're rich. He didn't have much to say. Good. These are very brief. So he says, this is what you. I know. I see everything that's going on. You think you're poor? Oh no. You're rich. Here's the bad. What he says about Smyrna. I wish I had a cricket chirp sound effect. Why does he say nothing bad? Because when you're persecuted, like I say, all the bad stuff goes away. There's a purification that happens. I think that's going to happen. Is, do you feel like you got a target on your back? No, Isaac had the symbol. It looks like a happy face, kind of sideways a little bit. If you see a playing the cajon there, it's an N in Arabic or something, and it means Nazarene, and it identifies us as Nazarenes. It's in a lot of places in the world, it's a sign of like, it's like that yellow Star of David they used to make Jews wear during World War II. It's like that we're identifying as, whether you wear the shirt or not, don't worry, they're going to find us who we are. They're going to persecute us. I think they'll try. What'll happen? Me and Susan talked about this at length. I don't want to scare anybody. I don't really want to get anyone. She says, I don't want to go to a re-education camp. Neither do I. I don't want to go to prison. We were talking at a business meeting last. You know, we were talking about some of the money. Well, Kyle said, we got to save some money here, over here, to get you bailed out of jail if it comes to that. And I thought, like, you know, it might. I don't want to go to jail. Will I? For preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, hate speech to be sure, in the new administration. I say homosexuality is a sin, it says so here in the Bible. That's hate speech, you're a hateful person. I'm not. I've always felt the same way about homosexual activity. It's always been sin. How do you feel about homosexuals? Love them like Jesus does. Always. I've never changed. Now, that's hateful. Are we going to be persecuted? Me and Susan, we talk about this at length. Hey, brace for impact. What are you going to do? There's no guarantee. I don't know what's coming. I know this. I'm signed in for the long, whatever. Come what may, if I get arrested and get thrown in jail, I'm just going to do prison ministry from the inside. I've determined. I'm not going to punk out. I'm not going to back down. I'm not going to shut up. I'm not going to walk it back. I'm not going to try to rewrite history. And all that stuff that's out there on the web, the things I've said, well, I'm going to try to, no, well, you took me out of context. I didn't say, no. We're saved for such a time as this. Come what may, I do not care. I am not going to blush to speak the name Jesus Christ. Smyrna Church tells me Jesus is very okay with that church. He says, hang out till death. And then he has the promise to the overcomer. To the one who overcomes, verse 11, will not be harmed by the second death. Now, I have to explain that just a little bit, okay? So let's go back in Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. It's called the Great White Throne Judgment. If you're there, you're sunk. We're going to find out everyone at the Great White Throne Judgment is condemned because they're judged according to their works. You don't want to be judged according to your works. You're going to be judged according to what Jesus did on the cross. You say, I don't believe in Jesus. Oh, that's unfortunate. You're going to be judged according to your works, and it's not going to come out well. I'm going to read from the Word of God what that judgment looks like. I saw a great white throne, him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. And another book which was open was the book of life. That's your name. You're born again, right? Your name has been in the book of life since the foundation of the world. Really? Yeah. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Is that good? You read, no. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. Well, that's good. That's what I want. No, you don't want that. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Read here. This is the second death. Now put that in your brain. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. You name the book of life? Teflon. Praise the Lord. This is so cool. Your name's not written in the book of life. You're judged according to your works. And what's the outcome? And death and hell will cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. He promised at Smyrna Church, you're not going to be hurt by the second death. In other words, when that great white throne judgment rolls around, guess where you're going to be? Not there. You're going to be hurt by the second death. Everyone in front of God who gets judged according to the works, because I think people believe that. Well, if I do more good than bad, who does that? But the other part about it is think this all the way through. What about the bad you've already done? What are you going to do about that? Well, I'm going to make restitution. Yeah. You know, it's that old Tennessee Ernie Ford song. Remember 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older, deeper in debt. If I want to be judged on my works, the best day, I'm getting more behinder than I'm getting closer. I mean, that's just all there is to it. You don't want to be judged according to your works. You want to be judged. Take advantage of what Jesus was judged for, our sin on the cross. You take advantage of that. Say, yeah, sign me up. I believe in that. Take my nakedness, my sin, my depravity, my wickedness. Clothe me in your righteousness. Here, take my sin. Give me your righteousness. What a deal. Why aren't we all on board with that? I never understand that. So here he says to the Smyrna church, the one who overcomes, that's me. Will not be harmed by the second death. Great white throne judgment, it's not you. Okay, Pergamum. Perverted marriage. This is, I think, the forerunner to the Catholic Church is when, I know I hate saying that, but this history, and I'm not going to change it. I don't think God wants editors. He just wants proclaimers. This is when the church married the state, because after Constantine said, okay, you can't, he did not. Some people say he made Christianity the state religion. He didn't. It was two emperors after him. The one after him, I can't remember the guy's name, but he tried to stamp out Christianity. But by that time, the horses had left the barn, and there was no recalling it. And then the one after him said, okay, Christianity is a state religion. So I'm a pagan priest. I'm worshiping Zeus in the temple of Zeus. And all of a sudden, what I'm doing is against the law. But I don't care anyway. Well, so who's the new God in town? Oh, what, Yahweh? All right. So I change my garments and I become, there I am. And the church and the state married. Was that a good thing? It never is a good thing. And we talked about that, you know, like in, it was a time when if you were born in Germany, you were a Lutheran. You wouldn't have to be born again. You were born into Christianity. So were you born again? Maybe, probably not. And then you were, when you went to work, they took your tithes out of your check and mailed to the Lutheran church right away. Was that a good system? Never. Because then people don't have to get born again. They have to hear the gospel. I was born in a Christianity. How many people in America think that? Have you ever talked to somebody about being born? I wasn't born in deepest darkness. I was born right here in America. Of course I'm a Christian. I don't say that much anymore. Things are changing. But you've heard that because people used to think like that. So we have the perverted marriage, Pergamos, you know, gamos, monogamy, you know, bigamy, polygamy. And per is that perverted, like pervert, like perturbation, like, okay, perverted marriage. What's the good? Verse 13, I know where you live, where the throne of Satan sits, yet you have held fast to my name and have not denied your faith in me, even in the day when my faithful witness Antipas was killed among you, where Satan dwells. I know your affliction and your poverty, though you are rich. I think all seven churches are surprised by their report card. I wonder if Jesus was standing before us and said, okay, this is what I think about you guys. I wonder how surprised we'd be. I don't know that we should be too surprised because we've read these letters and God has had a chance to speak to us. If we're the people who have left our first love, would he say, hey, you left your first love? I think we all should know that by now because we've already, we've been through this, right? He says, oh, you think you're so rich? You are not. Like he say, we'll say to Laodicea later. Antipas, against all. I like that. You know, you and God make a majority. And I don't care if you're the only one saying it. You're right if you agree with God. What's the bad about Pergamum? I have a few things against you. Because some of you hold to the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to place a stumbling block before the Israelites so they would eat food sacrificed to idols and commit sexual immorality. In the same way, some of you also hold the teaching of the Nicolaitans. So what Ephesus said no to, this church says, yeah, we'll buy into that. And again, Jesus hates that. He said that's a bad thing. Pergamum, to the overcomer, to the one who overcomes, I will give the hidden manna. I also give him white stone, inscribed with a new name, known only to the one who receives it. Manna. So you get manna and tree of life, right? And don't worry, there's plenty to eat in heaven. You know, in the millennial kingdom, every man under his vine, under his fig tree, it's a euphemism for plenty, bounty. You got your fig tree, you got your vine, you're all set. You got all the things you need. Will people be starving? People, when you drive off the end of the, the off ramp, is a guy there with a cardboard sign, will work for food in the kingdom age? No, there is not. No. Everyone will have plenty. That's how Jesus, when he gets it his way, that's how it rolls out. So in heaven, you think you have plenty? Don't worry about it. I got plenty now, and I'm still in this fallen world. So manna, and I also give him white stone, inscribed with a new name. White stone, maybe a diamond, maybe white with the idea of acceptance, like not blackballed, white with, some say it's invitation. I like this, a new name, because names scripturally, I said this before, I know, but we're reviewing, right? So bear with me. Names in scripture mean something. They always mean something. And I don't know how else to say it. You know, Abraham, high exalted father, said, no, I'm changing name to Abraham. He puts a hey in the middle of it. And Sarah's the same. He puts a hey, the letter hey, which means essence or abundance. So Sarah becomes princess. Abraham becomes not exalted father, but the father of many nations. And so it came to pass in reality, too. Names mean something, scripture. What does your name mean? Adam means man. Big deal, whatever. Maybe you know your name, maybe you don't, what it means scripturally, or maybe you read in a baby book and your name means this, your name means this. I don't know. But God said, this is the name that I have for you. Is it a pet name? He'd call you like, Suze's name is not really Suze. Figure it out, right? Mom didn't give her a nickname for a name, but nobody calls her that. And I don't even usually call Susan. I call her, you know, baby doll or pet, or my pet name for his pet. It's kind of weird, I know. But we have names for each other and stuff. Is this like a pet name Jesus calls? I don't think so. I think this is what I designed you to be. This is what I think of you. When I think of you, this is what I think. And the only way you'll ever know who you are, what you were designed to be, is in Jesus Christ. If you don't get this new, if you're not in heaven, you don't get this new stone, what was it all about? Why was I here? What was I supposed to be doing? What was that? You'll never know. Eternally, you'll never know. That's the part that I can't live with, that unresolved. What's my new name? Come on, Jesus, tell me. I want to know. I can't wait. I just want to know. I always think like it'll be rabbi. I thought something like that, or some teacher, Annie Sullivan. He'll call me, because I think that's what he designed for me. I think when I've hit my stride, I think that's what it is. I don't know, but I'll know then. And outside of being in heaven and him giving me that stone, I'll never know. And I can't live with that. That's crazy. I want to know. But you know, only the person who receives that stone will know. Okay, Thyatira, continual burning. I think this is Catholicism. And he has some good things to say to Catholics. You say, well, that's the case, and Sardis will be the Protestant Reformation, where he says nothing good to them. So, and I agree, by the way. So Thyatira means continual burning the good. I know your deeds, your love, your faith, your service, your perseverance, and your latter deeds are greater than your first. So you got love, you got faith, you got service, they're doing works, they're persevering, and they're gaining ground in all these ways. Jesus says you're doing better and better. Good work. Good. Any problems, any complaints there? Thyatira is bad, is this. But I have this against you. You tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess. By her teaching, she misleads my servants to be sexually immoral and to eat food sacrificed to idols. So he says, okay, I got this against you. There's a real problem here. You got that Jezebel teacher, and that's unacceptable. I think this is a hint to, and I said this before, Inquisition. And I think the thing that Jezebel is most famous for in Scripture is Inquisition. It's Naboth's vineyard. She says, okay, hire these guys to testify that Nabal has spoken against God and the king. Take him outside. So we already know before the trial happened, he's guilty. Take him out, stone him. And guess what? Oh, we inherit the vineyard. Ha, huh, isn't that funny? And which is a picture of what happened during the Inquisition. And that's when much of the wealth is accumulated in Rome. I mean, think about it. You know, we kill you because you're a heretic. We're not going to pass on your stuff to your heretic children. So the church and the local authorities will divvy it up. What a great incentive for inheriting, for grabbing wealth. And I think that's what he's talking about when we're talking about that woman Jezebel. The overcomer, a lot of stuff. The one who overcomes, verse 27, and continues in my work until the end, I will give authority over the nations. Jezebel's all about ruling. He said, get rid of her. I'll give you real authority. I'll give you, and we will rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. I like that. He will rule them with an iron scepter and shatter them like pottery, just as I have received authority from my father, and I will give him the morning star. And we find out, and would turn there if I didn't look at the time, but we find out in chapter 22 that the morning star is Jesus himself. I will give you me. Amen. What else do you want? If that was all that the overcomer got, count me in. That's a good. I want that. God knows how to bless and bless and bless and just bless your face off. He knows how to melt you with blessing. He knows how to just pile it on. So, doesn't he? Sardis, the meaning is unclear, but I think that's the point. Some say it's those escaping or the remnant, but that doesn't seem to be supported with the etymology of the world. It is one of the stones in the breastplate of the high priest. Which stone? Well, that's another part that's unclear. But I think that's the point, that the meaning is unclear, because they have a name, but the name is supposedly alive, but they're not. But let's look at the good first. Sardis good. Again, we need that cricket sound effect there. He says nothing good about Sardis. If he came in and gave us a report card, he says, okay, here's the good. And then, you know, there was an embarrassing silence for about half a minute while he was standing here. We'd all be like fidgeting and, oh man, this is not going to go well. Hopefully there's something. He looks at our lives and he says, this is, I can work with this. This is good. Sardis, nothing. Here's the bad. I know your deeds. You have a reputation for being alive. You're so not. But you're dead. This is the second of the churches that will be alive, be around when Jesus comes back. Will the Catholic Church be here when Jesus comes back? Yeah. And he mentions about his return in all four, the last four churches. And so Sardis, he says, they're going to come back too. They're going to be here when he comes back. So the Protestant Church will be here, the Catholic Church will be here. And by the way, we've talked about this in the past. People say, how do you get around this? You know, you Protestants, if Jesus at least says something good to Catholics, but he didn't say nothing good to you. How do you... I have never been, I am not now, nor have I ever been a Protestant. I am not protesting anything. I am a Bible Christian like Paul the Apostle. I'm not like Paul the Apostle, but of the same ilk. Like the people at Pentecost, if you said to like Peter and James and John and Andrew, and you say, hey, you guys, are you Protestants or Catholics? They say, what are you talking about? We're followers of Jesus. We love Jesus. We're born again. We're saved. What are these words? I don't even understand them. And that's kind of like who you are and who I am in Christ. We're not choosing sides in the sense of like, listen, if it's true biblically, we believe it. If it's not, I don't care who's teaching it. If it's wrong biblically, it's wrong. And I don't care if you have all the authority of, nobody cares. We agree with Scripture, and that's all there is to it. So I'm not a Protestant, and I used to be Catholic, but I'm not a Catholic anymore. I just love Jesus. And you want to fight over religion? Go ahead. Fight to your heart's content. I'm not involved. I'm not protesting anything. I'm not kissing the Pope's ring when pigs fly. Just not doing it, okay? And we talked about bowing down before. Your knees aren't designed to bow down before men. That's not what God would have you do, ever. Sardis, I know you deed. You have a reputation, but you're not the real deal. Wake up, verse 2. And strengthen what remains, which was about to die, for I have found your deeds incomplete in the sight of my God. Was the Reformation complete? Well, they did some things like soteriology. They, you know, discovered, you know, salvation by faith in Jesus Christ. Their eschatology, putrid. Sorry, it is. And, you know, you think of someone like Martin Luther. Wow, I read some of the stuff, the anti-Semitic rhetoric from his pen. It's embarrassing is what it is. I haven't found your works perfect. But to even to them, he has an overcomer promise. Verse 4, he who overcomes, this is you, will be dressed in white. I will never blot his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my fathers and his angels. Is that a blessing? I'm going to take his name. I'm going to get the white out. I'm going to just... You had never existed, right? Or worse, I say, take a magic marker and just... Yeah, make some, like a redacted document. Yeah, make some sense out of whose name was there, right? I would never do that, Jesus says. I wouldn't do it. I will not blot your name out of the book of life. But instead, rather, I'm going to confess. I'm going to die at some point. Either I'm going to, he's going to send for me or come for me. And that's appointed for each one of us. I think come for us all in the rapture. And I think that's scheduled pretty soon. That's all I'm going to say. I don't know. No man knows the day or the hour, right? He's going to, and I'm going to stand before the Lord. And I think he's going to say, hey, Father, I want you to meet your son, Adam. That's what he says. Now, all heaven's going to be there. I will confess his name before my father's name. God is saying, is he one of yours? And Jesus said, yes, he is. I love that. Okay, we got to keep moving because I got two churches. Stay with me. Philadelphia means brotherly love. The good, I know your deeds. Verse 8, see, I've placed before you an open door which no one can shut. For you have only a A little strength, that's a bad thing, right? No, it's a little church. And even with your little strength, you have kept my word, you have not denied my name. Hallelujah. Have you made that choice? I don't care who's saying what. And I don't care what's politically correct. I don't want to be politically correct. I want to be biblically correct. I'm never going to deny his name. Have you made that choice? Jesus loves that. And he says, that's a good thing. Keep going. You haven't denied my word. Well, you know, the Bible, I know, it's an outdated book when it says about homosexuality. We have more understanding now. We've got to change these verses. No, we don't deny his word. And he likes that. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I will keep you from the hour of testing that is about to come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. He just promised them out of the tribulation. Strong for pre-tribulation rapture. Okay? Make your argument. By the way, if you don't agree with me about that, I've talked about it. Like Wednesday night, we went through a lot of verses. We're going to take that up, and I got a lot more verses on the rapture. If you don't agree, we still fellowship. You know, I mean, so if I was the only one espousing this, you'd look at me a little askance and say, Adam, really? Really? No, most all Calvary Chapel, and most people take the Bible literally, and we're kind of most gravitate towards that. But there are good scholars who don't. I have to acknowledge that. But he just promised Philadelphia, you ain't going through the tribulation. That's the hour of testing that's about to come upon the whole world. What's the bad about Philadelphia? One of only two churches, there's nothing bad to say. Who's the overcomer? Verse 12. If the one who overcomes, I'll make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he will never again leave it. Upon him I will write the name of my God, the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem that cometh down from heaven, from my God, and my new name. This is tattoo parlor in heaven. You can write on. He's done a lot of writing. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to be first in line. And I don't know what his new name is. What are we going to know him eternally as? We're his bride. It's going to be something intimate, I'm sure. Will we know him as Savior? I'm sure. Jesus, Savior, right? Will we know him on a different level? I can't even imagine it. But I'm so... Tell me now. I just want to know. And, you know, he won't. But we'll know it that day. He's going to write it right on us so we won't forget. He's going to name a new Jerusalem. So if I get mixed up or confused or lost, I'll have my address right on, like, you know, like your mom used to put notes in your mittens. It'll be like that, you know what I mean? So you'll be able to be all set. I don't know. I'll write upon him the name of my God. That's Yod Heh Vav Heh, the Tetragrammaton, right? Maybe there's something new there. I don't know. Philadelphia. We all want to be the Philadelphian church. Okay, last, Laodicea. Laodicea means people rule. Is that a good thing? Well, let's look at Laodiceans good. It's not a good thing for people to decide. It's not when people rule. That goes back to the Garden of Eden. Hey, do this. Well, I got a better way, Satan says. We eat the apple. We think we know good and evil, and we so don't. And we're not going to spit it back out. We think we're the masters of our own. And we know. God did not tell. We know. And we don't. We don't. People think, like, God's got to change. He's got to get with the times. We know this now, that this is, we know nothing. Like God cares about elections. 51% of the people say, okay, it's okay to smoke dope now. And God says, I thought I was wrong, but I guess I'll change my mind. And everyone go out and get high. We're cool with that. It used to be like a bad thing. Now it's like, oh, it's medicine. It's great. It's great. It's great. And by the way, when I say that, I don't know about medical marijuana. I'm not a doctor. I really, really, really don't know. Okay? I'm just going to say that caveat. But I don't say that about anything. We're going to change the rules and change the ancient markers and say, okay, God, this is a new deal, the new paradigm, get with it. No. People rule dumb. God says, there's the good. Bad. I know your deeds. You're neither hot or cold, verse 15. I wish you were one or the other. 16, because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to vomit you out of my mouth. You are so tepid, you make me puke. And by the way, when it says spew you out of my mouth in the King James, it means vomit. I'm throwing you up. You are, ugh. Make me gag with your... When we talked about this, hot is good, right? What a red hot for the Lord. Cold is good, right? I mean, lukewarm's better than cold. No, cold we can deal with. I don't love Jesus. I'm an unbeliever. We're good with that. How do you reach somebody who, you know, we talked about this last week. Ken has always said, there are those who are, those are those who, well, he says, those who are, those who ain't, and those who ain't but think they are. And how do you reach them? We try to reach them with the gospel. Listen, before I thought I was okay. At one point in my life, you try to share the gospel with me. I'm like, who do you think you are, you hypocrite? I'm fine. I'm a religious person after all. I was born again. I didn't need any of your silliness. I didn't need any of that. Other than an intervening miracle of God, I would have been on the outside looking in still. No, cold is okay in the sense at least we know where you are. At least, but when you're lukewarm, Jesus says, that's pukey. That's throw up stuff. And he goes on to say, more bad. You say you're rich. I have grown wealthy and I need nothing. You don't realize you're wretched, you're pitiful, you're poor, you're blind, and you're naked. What an indictment. Verse 18, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire that you may become rich, white garments so that you may be clothed and your shameful nakedness be not exposed, and salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. You're none of those things that you think you are. Now to the overcomer, and we'll end here. I know, I've gone past. Imagine my surprise. You know, we used to be an hour and a half, and we used to be a whole hour in the Word. At some point, we might go back to that. I don't know. We'll see. Here's the overcomer. To the one who overcomes, I will grant the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. We could sit on his lap or something. Don't worry about it. He's got it all squared. You know, in chapter 4 and chapter 5, you see 24 elders sitting on 24 thrones around the throne in the throne room of eternity. And we'll make much of that at that time. Look, that's all I got. He's got a lot for us. Why? Because this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. That's what 1 John tells us. The overcomer, the message to the overcomer is the message to you. Hey, I want to bless you. I want to give you this. I want to give you this. I want to give you this. Why? Because you're mine. Because I know how to bless. Because I know how to love you. Because remember in Romans 8, he's given us Jesus. Won't he with him give us all things? I always think of this all the time. So I got fired. You know that back in a month, 5 weeks ago. I don't know. And we were all nerved up, right? Not at all. No. Let me put this another way. No. So I come home and I said, hey, I got fired today. She goes, you did not. I said, yeah, I did, actually. And she was, oh, what are we going to do? And she was running around, went in trouble, went in doubt, running in circles, screaming, shout. That was her, right? No. She goes, oh, okay, well, whatever. And I was like, you know, God's God. He gave us Jesus Christ. Christ, he's going to cheap out when it comes to a job? Really? Is that how you think about it? He wants to bless us and bless us and bless us and give us things because he's good always. Now he takes us through some trials. He's trying to, you know, refine us and bring about. I'm not saying it's always good every day, every way. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying he's a good God. He knows he's a good father. He knows how to bless his children. So why don't you stand up and I'll give you the benediction blessing right now. And I say like this, you can go like this, bring a basket next time so you can just catch all the blessing that God will have for you, okay? May the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Boy, he wants to give us peace. Lord, we praise you. We praise you that for those of us who have overcome, who believe in the name of Jesus Christ, you've given us all things pertaining to life and godliness. And you haven't cheaped out on anything, Lord. You are gracious, you are good, you are a magnificent Heavenly Father, and you love to bless your children. We thank you and we praise you. Bless us indeed. And Lord, for those who are still outside that ark of salvation in Jesus Christ, impress upon our hearts the urgency to decide for you, even today. A wonderful day to be born again. I know. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.